The first scripture reading is found in your Bible in the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 33, and we begin reading at verse 7. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die. You do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way. That wicked person shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity. But you will have delivered your soul. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, or why will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to your people, the righteous of the righteous shall not deliver him when he transgresses. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it when he turns from his wickedness. The righteous shall not be able to live by his righteousness when he sins. Though I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, yet if he trusts in his righteousness and does injustice, none of his righteous deeds shall be remembered. But in his injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, though I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, yet, if he turns from his sin and does what is just and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has taken by robbery, and walks in the statutes of life, not doing injustice, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right. He shall surely live. Yet your people say, the way of the Lord is not just, when it is their own way that is not just. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. When the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he shall live by them. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his ways. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. They drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things took place as examples for us. We might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. You must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did. 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example. They were written down for our instruction, in whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. There were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans, because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. For those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. They came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today. There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." This is our text. There's an old saying that if you're looking for trouble, you will find it. You all know it. But what if you're not looking for trouble? Then trouble will find you. Yeah, that's the way it works. Like those Galileans who were just worshiping and making sacrifices. What a good thing. And Pilate attacks them. And when the crowds shared this story with Jesus, I presume that they were looking for both a sympathetic ear and a judgmental ear. Sympathetic ear towards those poor Galileans, but a word of severe judgment for someone as evil and wicked as Pilate. I think that's what all of us would normally expect if we shared such an incident with somebody like Jesus. But the response that I think many of us would have anticipated is not the response that they got. Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? They weren't even talking about the Galileans' sin. They were talking about how bad Pilate was. Then Jesus says this, "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Let's put it more in our modern context. And in the news, and I think on a lot of people's minds all the time, is what's going on over in the Ukraine. One of the news stories I heard is that there were people simply in a bread line who were mowed down by Russian soldiers. Imagine sharing that story with Jesus and hearing him say what he said to these crowds. Do you think that they were worse sinners than everybody else? No, but unless you repent, you too will perish. What? Lord, what happened to them wasn't fair. That's not the response we expected from you. You're supposed to condemn Putin or something like that. You're supposed to be angry at the Russians, not with the Ukrainians. And then Jesus himself shares another account. Apparently there was some tower in Siloam, maybe a poor architectural design. We don't know what happened or why it happened, but it fell down, and 18 innocent people, so we would label them, died. But Jesus didn't see them as innocent. For those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. What in the world is going on in the mind of Jesus as he says these things? In one sense, Jesus is reminding us of a simple fact of human life in this world and who we are as human beings. A fact that we don't like to admit to. Fact that actually most of the world denies. You see, we don't see ourselves as totally corrupt and evil. Oh, some people, maybe they're like that, but a lot of people are basically good, right? I mean, that's how the world thinks. A lot of people are just sort of innocent bystanders in this world, and bad things happen. You maybe aren't looking for trouble, but trouble just ends up finding you. And that's unfair. And God should do something about that. When people get angry at God when things like that happened. We're kind of reading about that in our Old Testament lesson for today, although the subject matter was a little bit different. How when wicked people repent, and God forgives them all their sins, treats them as righteous people. But then it also described people who've been righteous, doing a lot of good stuff. But then they do something wrong. And then God treats them as wicked people and completely forgets all of their righteousness. And if you were listening closely, the world, when it sees that, says, that's not really fair. If we're righteous more than we're unrighteous, you know, we should be treated better than we're often treated. What the world has a hard time accepting is what we actually regularly confess here in our liturgy. You know, you're not so bad of a people. I like most of you. Even the ones that I don't like, I love. I'm not going to tell you who you are. But what do we confess when we show up here? I, a poor, miserable sinner. You've heard it so many times before. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. In other words, Lord, if you want to beat up me on me while I live here, that's what I deserve. And if you want to beat up on me for all eternity, that's what I deserve. We say that all the time. Because that's the truth. If you're walking down a street of somewhere in Ukraine and a mortar shell drops out of the sky and kills you, and you were just minding your own business, you deserve that. The world wouldn't say that. But that's the penalty of sin. And we're all sinners. We like to rank sinners. Some are, if you will, better sinners than others, or less sinners than others. We're not so bad, but that guy Putin, oh, he's really bad and he's really evil. Yes. He deserves for someone to drop a piano on his head or something like that. Because he's treating people unfairly. He's doing to people what they don't deserve. But you see, we forget. We may not do things to the same degree that he does them, but we do the same things. How many of you have ever had a bad day? Raise your hands. Yeah. How many of you, when you were having a bad day, treated somebody poorly? Not because they did anything bad, but just because you were having a bad day? Raise your hands. How you abuse somebody unrighteously, not because they deserved it, but because you just felt like it. We're no different. We all do the same thing. Yeah, we might not have the might and the power and the authority to do things like Putin does or like Pilate did. But in essence, we're the same poor, miserable type of sinners. And God is constantly reminding us of that fact. As we live out our lives in this sinful world, sin has no desire to be fair. Sin has no desire to be just. Sin causes sorrow and pain. And even if you're not looking for trouble, trouble will just find you. And that's what we deserve as sinners. And what we can expect throughout our lives in this sinful world. But there is hope. And it's not a hope that the world understands. The world's hope is a worldly hope. It hopes for peace on earth, for wars to cease, for people to be nice all the time. But as long as this sinful world exists, my friends, that won't happen. But there is hope. And we find our hope in the cross, a symbol of suffering and pain. And when seen through the eyes of Christ, it's a symbol of unjust suffering and pain. It's a symbol of innocent suffering and death. But it's also a sign that in the innocent suffering and death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that sin and death have been conquered in his glorious resurrection from the dead. And for all those who repent, put their faith and trust in him, ultimately what happens to us in this world doesn't matter. Not from an eternal point of view. Bad things are going to happen to you in this life. Even though you try to do your best, you go to church, most of the time you treat people pretty nice, although you have some bad days. But as long as we live in this sinful world, towers built by some architect not paying attention are going to fall on people. Evil people are going to do evil things to others who just got in the way of their evil. And in short, sin is going to work its way. And we'll all be touched by it. But there is hope. And that's what we as Christians cling to in this world of suffering, sin, and pain. It's what brings peace to hearts, especially in, for instance, times of war. Imagine being a Christian in Ukraine right now. Any moment, any time, a bomb could just land in your living room and you'd be gone. To a lot of people, that would be a source of endless panic and fear. But to the one who has repented and put their hope in Christ, it's no worries. My life is safe and secure. Not because I can make it safe and secure, certainly not, but my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has. There may not be peace in this world, but for those who repent and put their faith in Jesus, there can always be peace in our hearts and the hope of an eternity of peace with our Savior in heaven. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.